Joining us today on Brownfield, former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Dan Glickman. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. It's great to be alive, and it's great talking to you.
We appreciate you joining us. First, could you give some listeners some more background on your work in agriculture through the years?
Well, of course, I was a secretary from during the second part of the Clinton administration for 6 years, and I was a member of Congress from Kansas for 18 years on the Agriculture Committee all those years. And I'm still involved in agriculture. I'm associated with a firm, R. Russell and Associates, and I also teach nutrition at Tufts University. So I've kept my hand in food and agriculture issues.
Right off the top, if you don't mind me asking, I just gotten off a call here. I've been covering the House Ag Committee Farm Bill markup that's taking place here last night and this morning. Dan, could you talk with the listeners the importance of that process of marking up a farm bill?
Well, historically, we've had farm bills every 4 or 5 years since the 1930s. And it's been now several years without a farm bill, although we've been able to extend current farm policy on several occasions. And it's really important not only to set the subsidies for payments to farmers, but also conservation and research and food security and nutrition. And it's important for farmers, important for agriculture. And the failure to pass a farm bill over the last several years has really been, I think, a dark mark on food and agriculture policy. So I'm glad to see that they're marking it up. I think it will give some predictability to agriculture, which farmers desperately need.
You talked about their federal support. Many farmers are struggling financially despite significant federal support. From your perspective, Secretary, what's driving that disconnect?
I'd say a couple of things. Number one is U.S. agriculture is very dependent upon exports. We grow much more than we consume, particularly in the row crops and in livestock. And so we need those export markets, and they've been threatened by presidential tariffs in the last year or so. And that's been a real dagger in the heart of agriculture, particularly soybean exports, but it's affected others as well. That's been really tough. And of course, natural disasters have hit farmers in a lot of places as well. But I'd say that tariffs and the restrictions on exports in recent years have been the most serious problem.
And from your perspective, you know, what policy adjustments could help improve U.S. agriculture's competitiveness in the export markets?
Well, one is that to give Congress more authority on tariffs and restriction on exports. I mean, quite frankly, the president has taken the exports and taken it to places where I don't think Congress ever intended. And of course, the courts have recently ruled against the White House on their tariffs. But we'll see how that plays out. I mean, fortunately, the Congress has provided additional funds on the subsidies for farmers, but that's not good policy over the long term. Farmers don't want to get a big chunk of their income from Uncle Sam every year. They want to get it from the marketplace.
What's your current assessment of the ag landscape for farmers and ranchers today?
Well, I'm always positive about it. In the first place, we have to eat. And so this farm policy is really important. I would say that one of the things that the two or three things that I think that we could do, one is open our markets more and get rid of a lot of these unnecessary tariffs or restrictions on agricultural exports. They really hurt farmers. I think that our crop insurance program has worked pretty well, but that always needs to be updated to help farmers during times of natural disaster and you know, vagaries in the marketplace, the geopolitical marketplace. Well, right now, you know, we have this Middle East war that's going on. That's going to affect farmers because it's going to probably raise fuel prices and probably raise fertilizer prices because fertilizer is so dependent on energy prices generally. So in the short term, there's a lot of uncertainty in what's going to happen as a result of this Middle East conflict. We just don't know yet.
In your career, have you experienced tensions like this before? And what have you seen regarding the farm sector when this occurs?
Well, you know, there's good years and bad years, and farmers are probably more vulnerable to weather problems and geopolitical problems than any other aspect of the American economy. But, you know, I would have to say this. Congress has responded. By and large, we provide billions and billions of dollars worth of payments to American farmers. And I'm not disparaging that. I think they've needed it to survive. But you know, so, but, you know, we have this gigantic budget deficit now. It's just, it's very destructive in terms of long-term American economy. So I don't know if we can rely on these subsidies forever and ever and ever. That's why it's important that we find a marketplace that allows the exporting policy to continue, particularly for the row crops. The other thing is that we need to continue our research budgets. Ag research, particularly at USDA and the land-grant universities, have been very important in providing the tools for increasing productivity, restricting pests and disease in agriculture, and finding new opportunity, new crops. And of course, we've seen that in the fuel area with ethanol and sustainable aircraft fuels and that kind of thing. So, you know, the future is good, but it's rocky. It's up and down. It's never really very predictable. That's the biggest issue that I worry about.
Former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Dan Glickman with us on Brownfield. Secretary, the new U.S. dietary guidelines for Americans has been generating discussion. What stands out to you in the latest version?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like there's some good and some bad. I think that, you know, we find that we have a very high incidence of chronic diseases in America. A lot of these are diet related. We have very high incidence of type 2 diabetes in America. And part of that is we eat a lot of sugar, added sugars in all of our products. And the dietary guidelines, I think, try to deal with added sugars and deal with increasing fruits and vegetables as part of our diet, and dairy products as part of our diet, which is very important. So I think there are some good things in here. I worry a little bit about Secretary Kennedy's views on diet-related issues, because he's taken a real dagger in the heart of, let's say, necessary crop inputs, which we need, like, you know, pesticides and herbicides that are necessary to prevent pests and disease. So it's complicated, but it is true that we're not in good health overall in terms of the U.S. Diet, and we're not as serious about reducing sugars and carbohydrates in our diets. And so I think the dietary guidelines go part way of trying to deal with that problem.
How do you see the relationship between agricultural policy and national nutrition policy? Should they be more closely aligned?
Well, the big thing is to recognize that the consumer always wins. Okay, so if the consumer gets bad information, and they may act on it, and they may hurt farmers, but farmers have to adapt as well to changing diets. And there's no question that we're seeing a public health strategy in America that's more focused on weight reduction, on reducing salt and sugars and some fats in our diet. And agriculture can cope with that. That's why it's so important to have a good, well-funded research budget to help farmers cope with changing diets of Americans. So the two have to go together, the consumer and the producer.
Continued debate around the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. From your experience, Secretary, what principles should guide reforms to food assistance programs?
Well, in the first place, you know, we ought to be proud of the fact that America, the U.S., has the best and most comprehensive food security programs in the world. And hungry people, most of whom are people with small children who are income deprived, need these supplemental programs. And it's about 10% of the food that's produced goes into the SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So it's important for farmers to have that market. I would say that, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric about the SNAP program, but by and large, 40 million Americans are on it at any one period of time. It helps production agriculture, and it keeps people well fed, and we ought to be proud of that. Now, I do think that maybe in the SNAP program, we ought to look at what people eat. There's an awful lot of sugar-sweetened beverages that are consumed as part of the SNAP program, and so the administration is trying to do some pilot programs to reduce that and to make people give people better health choices if they're on SNAP. But by and large, I think SNAP's important, and we've always had this coalition between the urban and rural interests in America, between SNAP users. And the fact is that farmers benefit by the SNAP program in terms of selling about 10% of their food into that program.
Secretary, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. Do you have any final thoughts for farmers and ranchers before we close?
Well, let's hope that we get a farm bill passed and done. It's really important to give predictability to agriculture. For once, I think agriculture has taken a higher priority in our public policy discussions in our country and globally. And we need to also ensure that we provide food assistance overseas as well. The U.S. is the largest provider of food to the hungry and poor globally. And Food for Peace program, Dole McGovern, a lot of these programs are really important, not only for hungry people overseas, but for farmers' income here in the United States.
Dan Glickman is a former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. Secretary, thanks again for joining us today on Brownfield.
You're welcome. Anytime.